You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 3, Episode 12 tonight. Your podcast, your league, your tribe, RT, hang your head in shame.
Yeah, shocking, Kieran. I was really surprised to see it.
Really? But, you were surprised?
Yeah, well, I was, to be honest, because, you know, I didn't think RT would even go that low as to not even show anything in League of Ireland. They threw a bit of Liverpool in, threw a bit of Tempin bowling in. What wasn't covered?
I suppose if there's a positive, I can't wait to see the arcade pinball and start up. That should be great. But disdain towards the National League. But look, that's why podcasts like this are so important. We have to do our part to try and promote the league, because if the national broadcaster isn't going to do it, then who is? John, we missed out last week, unfortunately. Sorry to our listeners. Hectic work schedule last week, just couldn't fit it in. And as I said on Twitter, just the sooner Between the Stripes becomes a £1 billion enterprise, the better.
Well, if only we had the bank balance of the FAI, or maybe not, maybe as the case may be.
We'll talk about that later in the show. Another day of madness at FAI HQ. But look, excellent show coming up tonight. As I said, Series 3, Episode 12. Two great guests. We have the Dundalk FC first team coach, John Gill, joining us. And Andrew Dempsey from ExtraTime.ie and from Between the Stripes TV will join us to talk about Cabinteely's rise to the top of the First Division and the First Division season in general. But John, we'll start with the Premier Division review. And we will start at the new look Cork City side. They beat UCD by 2-0 at the Cross.
Yeah, and let's face it, Cork needed some good news, didn't they? They've got their the new management team in place, and they were hoping for a bit of a bounce results wise, and they've got them. Yeah, against what to say about UCD? They're having a real struggle at the moment, Kieran.
Speaking of new management teams, are you a little bit nervous about speaking to John Gill tonight?
I was a bit squirming in the seat when you were mentioned, we might be having a chat with John Gill tonight. And I thought, yeah. But to be fair, Kieran, I wasn't the only one at the start of the season. They struggled. They were 10 points plus behind Rovers. You know, but fair play to John and his management team for turning things around.
Yeah, well, as we said, that's coming up. I don't want to deflect from Cork to Dundalk, or our Cork listeners will immediately tune off ahead of that game on Friday. So as I said, 2-0 to Cork against UCD. And John, you're going to take us through the action now.
Well, it was a bit of a scrappy opener, to be honest, Kieran. Cork are just delighted to get any goals at the moment with the form they've been in. And it was Cal Shepherd that got the opener.
I thought the defending was appalling for that.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the UCD defending for this match was very, very poor. I wasn't at all impressed. And
as it has been for a number of weeks now.
Kieran, they're going to have to pick this up and quick. You know, yeah. We looked at the UCD of last season, the likes of Scales standing out this season. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And they're really struggling with things like set pieces and high balls into the box and things. And it's really basic stuff. And you know, without them being able to deal with that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're quite physical.
They're going to be on the way
down. Quite physical players at the back. You're talking about Scales there. He's a big lad. Mm. So they should be able to deal with them high balls and set pieces into the box. But it just needs to be organisation at the moment and communication across the back. That opening goal was a pointer to that. There was just no real marking at all, and a free tap in at the back post for Shepherd.
Yeah. I've highlighted here, Kieran, that it's funny you should come on to it, just the defence against set pieces, crosses into the box. You know, Colleoni has got a big job on his hands to get this UCD side clicking again. But look, Conor McCarthy cross went to Cummins, but he shot at the keeper.
The build-up play just before that was beautiful. Probably haven't seen an awful lot of from Cork in recent years. And I'm just looking at the former UCD man there, Dara O'Connor, and I think if this Cork team is going to play that style going forward now, he's going to be very, very important to that Cork team.
Yeah, and I think to be honest, Cummins, a bit of a crisis of confidence. It's a long time since he got a goal. That was all about to change in the second half, but that's, you know, it was a poor effort that. Conor McCarthy, he shot over when it was easiest to score. Again, UCD struggling to deal with the corner. Second half, bit of a chink of light. They hit the crossbar. But not long after that, Cork got the second, O'Connor's cross, Cummins slotted home 2-0, and God, well, he'll have been desperate for that goal, Cummins.
Yeah, you could see it in a celebration, a lot of relief there, a long dry spell, as you say, without a goal. And just going back to that earlier move, we talked about a very impressive team move that ended up with Cummins, a very poor effort at the goalkeeper. You're just wondering now in the next couple of weeks, with this goal behind him now, that chance comes again, maybe he finishes, maybe he goes on a run, and we see Cork going up that league table.
I think he'd be delighted to get Kevin O'Connor back with his delivery into the box. Yeah, you know, he's very, very good at that. So, you know, hopefully this might be a bit of an upturn for Cork.
Yeah, as you said, a lot of work for UCD to do, and I just want to pick up on the comments made by Colly O'Neill post-match. He spoke about how they don't have that killer instinct on front. And I want to just go back to something we've discussed previously on the podcast. We've spoken about the policy, transfer policy there at UCD. They won't look outside the college scholarship system. Surely when Colly O'Neill is speaking about a lack of confidence and a lack of instinct in front of goal, surely they have to look now where they are on the table at bringing in an experienced League of Ireland striker who could sniff out a couple of goals towards the end of the season and keep them afloat in this Premier Division.
I think every club would like one of those, Kieran. I think they're hard to find as well. But for UCD, Colly has been, he stated that they won't change what they're doing. But you know, I think if this run goes on any further, then he's going to have to make some changes.
Interesting stuff there. So we'll move along to the next one. Derry 1, St Pat's 1. Would you argue this was a fair result?
Yeah, and an enjoyable game, Kieran, to be honest. Two teams that certainly seem to be a little more on the up at the moment, and some good playmakers in both sides.
Yeah, I think the player we've highlighted a lot recently for Derry has been Junior, and he was impressive once again in this game, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, it was his pullback that first that set up McNamee for the opener, Kieran. Good work from him again. Lovely ball back to McNamee, who's shot across the goalkeeper to make it 1-0.
Yeah, that was a brilliant goal. And surprisingly, it was McNamee's first goal since returning to Derry. And when you think of a player like McNamee going back to Derry, you're looking at him and thinking, even though he's not the striker, he's surely got to be up there to be around the top scorer. You're looking at maybe 10, 11 goals this season. So for him to only be getting his first now, you're just wondering, what's taking so long there? Maybe it's just taking him a bit of time to bed back in. Is he carrying some slight sort of knock? He has been in recent weeks, so you never know if he's gone into the season maybe just not fully fit. So with that goal behind him now, you'd like to see him go on a bit of a run.
Yeah, and what a goal for the equaliser, Kieran. Lee Desmond, take a bow.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, to go RTE bashing, don't like to do it, but the commentary, this fake commentary that we speak about every week, it made the Lee Desmond goal look so boring. And I think that's just a testament to how poor that system of pretending it's live when it's not. It just doesn't work. So please, if anyone from Soccer Republic is listening, please scrap it, because it makes great goals like that just unbearable to watch.
Well, I'll tell you what was worse, the commentary on the Longford match.
Oh,
so
that was
a bit shocking, but Shaw forced a save from a cross. He was a threat in the air all night, Gary Shaw.
Yeah, just couldn't seem to get in a position where he was just close enough to get a real dangerous header away. A lot of them were into the keeper's hands and heading it across the face of goal. So obviously Pat's looking to go that little bit more direct now that they have Shaw in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
It's good to see them mixing their game up. I wouldn't criticise them at all for going that bit more direct. So we'll have to keep an eye on Shaw in the next couple of weeks and see what type of run he can go on.
Well, certainly Derry really struggled to deal with his aerial presence, Kieran. The other end, Parkhouse blazed over, and like I said, Shaw, always a threat in the air. He headed wide as the Derry defence struggled to deal with him. Call for a penalty towards the end as McNamee fell in the box.
No, I
didn't think a penalty.
He was down before the challenge was even made.
No. 1-1.
Fair result. Plenty of goals in the next one, John, down at the RSC. Waterford 3, Sligo Rovers 3.
Yeah, we're not going to say defences are on top in this one, but one player that we've criticised in recent weeks that looks to have got his mojo back, Ishmael Akinade.
Yeah, this was the Akinade we all know. Powerful, quick, and lethal in front of goals.
Yeah, and to me, he should have had a penalty. He got smashed in the box.
Stonewall. Yeah.
How was that not given, Kieran?
I don't know.
He was
then again, the last game, the referee got it right where McNamee goes down before this contact.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of the only few right decisions I've seen this weekend. I was at the Longford game, refereeing was appalling. I watched a few of the other games as well, and the referee, and it's something we go on about so much on this show, but it really does need to be looked at. Decisions like that, if you can't get that right, pack your bags and go home.
He was absolutely smashed. Was Akinade still?
Yeah,
I'm just no
using
idea.
Fancy words here. No. He was smashed.
Yeah, absolutely smashed. And no penalty is forgiven. I,
Unbelievable.
I just don't get it. But if that was a bit of comedy, what about Chris Tuarek's finish for his for the opener?
Yeah.
I don't know how he went in. He completely
in the end, he was the only one laughing because he put it over the line and in the back of the net. They all count.
Yeah, don't know how it went in.
No,
though.
I don't really know.
Player impressed me as well, Corey Galvin. I haven't seen too much of him this season. He got the equaliser with a lovely run and a shot from distance to make it 1-1.
I'm probably going to sound like overcritical on goalkeepers, but for me, he shouldn't be getting beaten from there. Being it's 25 yards or more out, and it's bounced before it's gone over the goal line. So I just think his positioning was poor all night. I thought Beanie had an atrocious game. We'll speak more about some of the other incidents involving him in the next few moments now, but I thought the Sligo goalkeeper was well off his game the other night.
He's not a patch on his dad, that's for sure. Here's a fella that I mispronounce every week, Zach Elbouzedi.
Oh,
he pulled that back. Shane Duggan took the lead 2-1, Kieran.
Yeah, we're used to seeing with Waterford, obviously, Bastian Heary been that real driving force in the midfield. But I actually thought Duggan the other night was superb. He seemed to be driving a lot of the attacks from deep and getting Waterford up the pitch. And as you said, a great run from Elbouzedi and a good cut back. And,
yeah, good goal threat as well, isn't he?
I think that's the one that's come back off the crossbar we're talking about here, isn't it? I think that'll probably go down as an own goal in all honesty, but a good clean strike from Duggan. So
yeah, Sligo cross to Coughlin. He equalised 2-2. He'll be delighted to start.
The marking there from Waterford was very, very poor. Free header inside the area.
I think it's very safe to say Kieran, defences weren't on top this match. Galvin Curler, that hit the bar, but Sligo went in the lead. Corley through ball. Romeo Parks with a neat finish to make
very,
it 3-2.
Very, very good finish from Romeo Parks. Seems to be picking up a bit of form now. That's his fourth goal of the season. So. When you're finishing them like that, you had a lot of time to think about it, and it looked like he was going to lift it over the goalkeeper, and he just powers it into the bottom corner. Really, really good finish.
Yeah,
good
he's certainly looking a decent striker, decent player that Sligo have there. Beanie brought down Akinadi for penalty, but Duggan missed it. Beanie saved it.
Yeah, about the only thing he did right, because he gets done in a couple of moments. Then after that, Beanie comes flying out of the net when there was no need for him. Gets chipped by Akinadi.
Oh, it's a great finish, though.
It's a great finish, but I don't know what the goalkeeper's doing out there. He had no business coming that far out of his net.
Yeah, he's had a moment, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, maybe saving that penalty, rush of blood to the head.
Yeah. Inexplicable handball, Sligo pen. And
I don't know what, it was Corey Galvin, I think, to give the... Oh, sorry, no, Georgie Poynton. Sorry, Corey.
Yeah.
It was Georgie Poynton to give that one away. I really don't know what he was doing or what he was thinking.
And do you believe Coughlin missed it? You know, he scored earlier on. He looks to be getting his shooting boots on, and Matt Connor saved it.
God, Poynton's a signing that's disappointing me, though. He came in from Dundalk, big reputation, seen him play a couple of times for the university side down in Longford. He was playing with the Irish universities, and you're looking at him thinking, God, he could do a job for if he goes to a club where he'll have more game time, but just hasn't hit the road at all at Waterford.
Yeah. How did your favourite Sligo defender get on? Any?
I didn't notice any mistakes anyway, although they did concede three, so. But I won't.
Dante watch, as we're calling it here.
I won't blame poor old Dante, but an entertaining game, but certainly, as you said, defence is not on top, and some goalkeeping calamities too, but it all adds to the entertainment and excitement of the League of Ireland. Moving along, the game I was at, Bohemians 0, Dundalk 2. I thought this was a comfortable win for Dundalk.
Yeah, and it was a big test, this one, Kieran.
Sold out Daily Mount once again.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see, isn't it? Yeah, and something else good to see was Georgie Kelly getting a start.
Yeah, and he was superb on the night, John. His hold-up play was just tremendous with his back to goal, linked up with his midfielders really well, linked up with his wide men like Duffy extremely well, and took his goal superbly.
Yeah, well, one man that's just tearing up the league at the moment is Michael Duffy, and it was his ball back to Georgie who opened the scoring 1-0. Duffy seems, I think you've described him as unplayable.
I've described him as unplayable in recent weeks, and he was that again at times the other night at Daily Mount for that opening goal. He doesn't actually go round the two Bohemians defenders. He almost goes through them with his pace. He bursts through a couple of tackles, pulls it back to Georgie Kelly. Kelly has his back to goal. You're thinking, oh, he's going to have to lay it off to someone here. No, I'll have a little swivel and I'll ping this into the bottom corner. And it got Dundalk well on their way.
We saw the best and worst of Gary Rogers this match, Kieran. Great save from Mandrew, who's
superb save. That could have been a real turning point had that gone in.
But then an awful clearance, Kieran, from Rogers. That led to a shout for a penalty, but for me, Gannon did well getting back and clearing up.
Not a penalty, but just to be fair to Rogers, I thought that was his only real mistake on the night. And I'm sure anyone that's been to Daily Mount knows that the penalty area can be a little bit difficult to navigate at times. There can
Kieran,
be a bit of a
don't
bump.
Don't tell me you're criticising another pitch.
No, I'm not criticising. Well, actually, the pitch was poor the other night, I have to say. It was played very, very slow. I don't know, was the grass too long or... what was going on, but it was certainly noticeable how slow the ball played on it. But one kicking error from Rodgers, as I said, he made a really, really good save. He's been superb again this season for Dundalk. I think he's a goalkeeper that seems to get a lot of stick. People seem to look at his mistakes more than the big saves he makes. He easily makes Dundalk 9 to 10 points a season.
Yeah, he's a big fella in goals as well, isn't he? A big physical
real
presence.
Real commanding presence in that back line. Cool head. I think he's everything you want in a goalkeeper, really.
Duffy was brought down for a penalty, Kieran. Chris Shields stood up for this one and hit at the keeper.
Yeah, no hint of bias from me here. I was watching this one from the away end, but for me, not a penalty in a million years. If anything, it was a free kick to Bohemians.
And a bit of outrage about where Chris Shields was taken in the first place online.
Well, not outrage, but everyone around me was like, why does Chris Shields have the ball in his hand? Why is Chris Shields putting the ball on the spot? Is Chris Shields going to take this one?
We'll be asking John Gill later.
Yeah, so he hit it straight down the middle. It wasn't a great penalty. It was easily saved, and I don't think we'll be seeing Chris Shields taking penalties again.
First mistake I've seen from the Bows goalkeeper, Talbot. He came from for a Duffy free kick. Didn't beat Hoare to it. 2-0, game over.
Just thought it was a good good ball into the area. As you said, if the keeper's coming, he has to get it.
Karen.
So, yeah, I can see your point in that. But I just thought it was a good quality delivery, and Hoare was up and got a thumping header on it. 2-0. Game, set, and match. I know Bows fans were a bit disappointed with a couple of penalty decisions. It wasn't shown on the highlights. I thought in the first half that Dean Jarvis was maybe slightly lucky to get away with handball. That could have been a turning point. But on the overall scheme of things, I thought Dundalk were very, very good value for the win. And we're going to speak to their first team coach now, John Gill, who joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Now we're delighted to welcome John Gill onto the show. John, you're very welcome to the Between the Strikes League of Ireland podcast. I guess you're quite looking forward to talking to me. We're a little struggling at the start of the season, double digits behind Rovers. There were a few questions about the management structure from myself included, but you've turned it all around and you're right up there now.
Well, good evening, boys. Yeah, listen, John, these people, there was obviously going to be questions about the structure, and because it's new, and like anything new, you know, it intrigues people, but it's working quite well, and it was working quite well then. They're a great bunch to be around, great management team, great backroom team, and a great bunch of players. So it's been a privilege actually to be up there.
Yeah, and a real good turnaround in form, and a fantastic result at the weekend there, 2-0 at Bows.
Yeah, it was a good one, John. I think the first half an hour was probably the best we played, I think, all season. I thought it was. Anyway, it's back to what normal service resumed is like for Dundalk. And in fairness, I suppose they came into it. We expected that. They're a very good side. I mean, they've had a tremendous season. So thrilled to go to Derry, man, because not many teams. I know Cork went there the previous week, but they've been a hard nut to crack this year, Bows. I mean, they've been fantastic. So we've been lucky enough to beat them twice, beat them up in our place, probably very fortuitously, a penalty in the last minute. And actually, that's kind of what sparked this bit of a, this could run off. So we're thrilled to get the 3 points, and we're thrilled to have clawed back the points that we were behind. So we're sitting in a good place, and we are in a good place.
And speaking of things we're not used to seeing, John, Chris Shields taking a penalty in Daly Mount at the weekend didn't go too well. What was the thinking behind that one?
Well, we'd worked on them the day before because we knew Pat Hogan wasn't playing, and you know, in fairness to Shields, he was binning them all in training the day before. They were really good, so and he fancied it. So you know, usually when it comes to penalties, it's whoever probably feels competent, and Shields, he said he did. So you know, and he's taken penalties before, and I think in his Bray time. So listen, probably did surprise some people, but somebody was going to have to take the penalty. There were a few contenders, like Georgie Kelly, probably Patrick McElhaney, but he went with Shieldy. Unfortunately, he missed, but I thought on the night he was magnificent.
Yeah, most definitely. And look, I think it was one of those ones. He's actually hit it quite clean, and if it goes down the middle, everyone's saying it's a great penalty, but it's just the fact the keeper's gamble stayed down the middle, and it's probably made him look a bit foolish, but these things happen. Look, John, speaking of big calls in recent weeks, we've seen the likes of Dane Massey out of the side. Brian Gartland had a couple of games out, and the players that have come in, I'm particularly talking about Dean Jarvis, has been absolutely superb in recent weeks. I suppose it speaks to the strength of the Dundalk squad, really, doesn't it?
It does, and listen, they're hard calls to make because, you know, in fairness to Massey and Gartland, they've been magnificent servants to the club. Both of them living there, you know, the entire 7 years that when Stephen went in first. But it wasn't only, we knew we would have to tinker around with the squad a bit because of the schedule that we had. It's a mad schedule, and it's well documented. We have picked up a lot of injuries, you know, the three main ones being Benson, obviously McElhaney and Shields. But people forget that we've also missed Duffy. Now he's had injuries. Problems. Stephen Fowland's been injured, Sean Murray's been injured. Like, we've had a lot of problems, and we've dealt with them quietly in-house. Medical team have been magnificent, but we have had to make, but we were doing a little bit of rotation anyway, Kieran, just to try and freshen things up a little bit.
And look, when you hear the first team coach of Dundalk coming on here and speaking about fixtures and the way it's scheduled, that there is part-time teams in this Premier Division as well. It really is ridiculous, the scheduling, isn't it?
It is, Kieran, and it doesn't make for a good product. It's also unfair on supporters that, you know, to ask them to have the fork out every two or three, you know, two games, three games a week. It's adding to teams' injury worries, and players are definitely getting injured because of the schedule. That's a definite, and it just waters down the product. And I don't know what the rush is to get, you know, the amount of games played before the break. I know they're saying it's about Europe, and I prefer they brought the FAI Cup back into when it was, you know, the first round should be played, I think, before the break, even the second round. But I don't know what the rush is to get all these league games played. It's not adding to the product.
Yeah, and particularly now we're seeing a lot of repetition in the fixtures. Obviously, you've only just played Bohemians, and in a couple of weeks' time, you're getting set to face them again. Does it make it difficult for, even though Dundalk were quite comfortable in that win on Friday, you're going and facing Bohs again. They've had a chance to size you up now. It makes it more difficult, doesn't it?
It does, and it's not ideal. I think the Bohs game on Monday is because of the European. We have a European in July. That game has been brought forward. Not ideal, but listen, we'll deal with it. We treat the games, we treat every game on its merits, prepare really, really well for it professionally, properly, and try and get a result. But you're right, you're playing twice in 10 days. It's not ideal, but, you know, we've got to get on with it and try. We have a bit of momentum there, and we want to try and keep that momentum going.
And one player who's certainly not showing any sign of fatigue is Michael Duffy. I've described him on the last couple of weeks on the show as unplayable here at times. You're working with him day in, day out, John. How good is he?
He's an incredible talent, Kieran. And a lovely lad to go with it, by the way. Very, very quiet, unassuming, and very humble. Works really, really hard. And to be honest with you, Kieran, and this is the frightening thing, he's missed a fair bit of training because we've been trying to manage a small little niggle that he's had. We're starting to get him back right now. He's just been an incredible talent. And not only when he has the ball, but people don't realise how hard he actually walks off the ball. He's just a joy to be around and a joy to work with.
Yeah, and as we said, without being disrespectful to Bohs, they put in a fair effort on Friday, but I was at the game and I thought Dundalk were quite comfortable. Like, Gary Rogers only had one real save to make in the game. Are you expecting a tougher trip now when you go to this new look Cork City side on Friday?
Yeah, listen, I think it's well documented, Kieran. I mean, you've touched on it yourself, you and John, in the past, that the rivalry is still there. Okay, Cork, you know, have had a difficult time. And I feel sorry actually for John Caulfield. John's a good friend of mine. I have a lot of time for John. I know him outside of football, a lovely man. Put his heart and soul into that job for, you know, 5-6 years. But they're on a bit of a run now, and because of the rivalry that's there, it doesn't matter where Cork are on the table or where Dundalk are on the table, there's obviously a spikiness to the game, and there'll be a decent crowd at it. It's going to be a difficult place the best of times to go, but more so now, but they've got their dander up. So again, we've got to prepare properly, go down there and try and come away with 3 points and be as professional and as good as we can be.
And John, we were seeing Georgie Kelly there playing against Bohs. We've seen a lot of him in the first division and he's scored a lot of goals, especially against Longford. But yeah, it was good to see him get a start and a goal as well.
Yeah, you have probably seen more of him, John, than probably some of our supporters. I think that was Georgie's, I'm not mistaken, that was his first start for Dundalk in a league game. He's again a great lad, very great lad to be around, very humble. He's just unfortunate that he's been behind probably the best centre, arguably the best centre forward in the league the last 2 years. I mean, Hogan's record is there for all to see. I think he's got 80 goals in 130 games, 81 goals in 130 games. He's been a revelation. So George has been unlucky, but he's trained really, really well. He's kept himself in superb condition. As you saw last week, he cramped up a little bit because of lack of game time, but I thought he was excellent on the night, and it was a superb goal that he got.
Yeah, I thought his hold-up play on the night was absolutely fantastic. And as you said there, John, it speaks to his physical condition. Even though he hasn't been playing, he looked in immaculate shape. So that's something I'd like to talk about now is the facilities, obviously, at Dundalk. Oriel Park have taken a huge upgrade over the off-season. Maybe you just walk us through the average day of a Dundalk player, because they're in a unique position, I suppose. Everything is on-site. That's not something we see at a lot of League of Ireland clubs.
No, and in fairness, the owners have really backed us and when you come to the ground now, I don't know where you've got it, I think you've seen it, Kieran, but yeah. We've got our own that it's over in the youth development centre. So we were on state of the art, elite gymnasium. The gymnasium we have is fantastic, but from that gymnasium, you've got a we've our own canteen. Eating facilities right next door to it. You cross, you go right across the hallway, and you go into a new analyst room where it's like a mini amphitheater. It's like a cinema. We do all our analysis work in there. Mainly with Stevie O'Donnell. We've got a state of the art grass pitch, which is just down below. So when we're playing on grass, we actually train on grass. And then we've also we've got our own 4G pitch, which okay, a lot of people don't like it, but it's as good as you're going to get on that type of surface. And I think there are other plans afoot. There's actually they've actually made more improvements in the last couple of weeks. The new CEO there, Mark Devlin, they've actually we all know how bad the away end is for people, and it's not nice. But they've actually built new toilets. They tidied up the away end, and there are plans afoot that, you know, to slowly but surely make improvements ongoing.
Yeah, and obviously, John, a European run, I suppose, would really help in that regard again. So, final question. We're not too far away now from the summer months. Europe, talk of Europe will soon start to ramp up. How confident are Dundalk of getting on a run again this year?
I think if we've everybody available, we get all our players back. We should have Robbie Benson back by then. Robbie's nearly probably a week away, a week or 10 days away from actually joining us on the pitch. So, if we get all our squad back fit. We may add one or two to the. We may add one or two more bodies to the squad to help us with our European run, because we're actually seeded, which is a great plus to have. We nearly know the six countries that we probably will end up facing, so there'll be a lot of preparation put into it. It's an area that we want to do well in. I know that the players are really, really hungry to get another taste of what they had two years ago. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. But listen, we know it's you do need a certain amount of luck in European football with the draws you get, and maybe the amount of travelling that you have to do. But we're really, really excited by it and looking forward to it. But as well as that, we're not taking our eye off our bread and butter, which is the league here.
Mm. Yeah, and the seeding's really important, John. You know, it's avoiding some of the tougher draws that you could get in the first round, and giving you a little bit of an easier route to the next round, hopefully. And of course, it equates to a lot more money.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where the money is, because it's well documented. The prize money in our league, John, is laughable for what, you know. But the way you make your money is probably if you do get a good European run, two or three games, it can generate a hell of a lot of money. We saw the money that was generated by Dundalk getting to the group stages. So, you know, we're not putting any targets on it, but we want to do well. The fact that we're seeded, we'd like to feel that we'll give ourselves a really good chance. We certainly won't be fearing, you know, anybody. Will treat everybody with respect. But again, it comes down to you might be lucky and maybe draw somebody like somebody in Kazakhstan, or a lot of it's down to the travel and how much detail you can get on the team you're playing. But we really are excited by it.
I think you'd prefer a TNS to a trip to Kazakhstan, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think Linfield, I think we can draw. We can draw Linfield, believe it or not. They're one of the teams that we could get. But like the fact that we're seeded, you know, it gives us a double hit really, because if we were unfortunate enough to go out in the first round of the Champions League, if we drop down to the Europa League, so you've got a chance there. So we're certainly starting to look at Europe now. We're starting to do a little bit of prep on it. But listen, it's still another 6 weeks probably away yet. But we've a lot of league games and a lot of games to try and be won before then.
Yeah, and of course, just on Linfield, you'll be hoping to see them in November, the Unite Cup or whatever silly name they've given it. There's a very real chance Dundalk could be in that, and obviously this Dundalk team has made a lot of history in recent years. I'm sure they'd love to be the first League of Ireland team to lift that trophy, and there's quite considerable prize money on offer there too.
There is, and I think we all missed when the Satanta Cup started, lads. I think we all agreed it was a great tournament. Probably died a death a little bit near the end. But I think it's important that we do try and get these games. I think actually this is a good idea. It's a good competition to have over two legs. And you say there's a nice little bit of prize. I mean, when you think of it, for a one-off game, there's nearly half the prize money that we get for winning our league in a one-off game. That says it all, really. So it is worth your while competing. I think it was 25,000 for just getting into the game itself. So it's good. It also, you're pitting yourself against, you can legitimately call yourself All-Ireland champions if you do win and win that game.
John, absolute pleasure having you. Thanks very much for your time, and best wishes for Dundalk for the rest of the season. Great form in recent weeks, and that Dundalk team, they're always good to watch when they're flowing. So hopefully that keeps up in the next few weeks.
Thanks, lads, for a great show. Listen to it every week. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it. Cheers,
John.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flowmax.ie.
So on to the first division results of the weekend. John Breyer, Drogheda 3, Limerick 2.
Yeah, big result this for Drogheda, 3-2, and Sean Brennan hat-trick.
Yeah, so obviously Brennan, he's one of the more high-profile names in that Drogheda squad. And when I was up in Drogheda a couple of weeks ago for the Longford game, he wasn't in the starting lineup, which was surprising to me. So I just asked a couple of Drogheda fans how he's been doing this season. They said, not at his best, so... Had a rest last week, came off the bench against Longford, but didn't start the game. And the decision by Tim Clancy seems to have paid off, a hat-trick here.
Yeah, two penalties, but you still got to score them,
Kieran. Yeah, we've seen that in the Dundalk game.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah. For Limerick, Darren Murphy, another penalty. It was a penalty mad in this match, Kieran, three penalties. And Adam Foley, Limerick 3-2. And
again, from Limerick, it's a good showing away from home. Unlucky not to come away with something. With everything going on at the club again, you just have to credit the players for digging in, rolling up their sleeves, getting on with it. Same to the management team. For Drogheda, though, a good home win here. They really needed that.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And they'll be delighted with it.
It'd be wrong of us, John, to speak about Limerick and not touch on the Sean Russell situation. So I have to give credit to the 98FM podcast, Jamie Moore. They've been covering this story in depth in recent weeks. So I'm sure people have seen it on that. If you haven't, head over to their Twitter or Jamie's Twitter and you'll get the full story on it. But basically, Sean Russell, injured playing for Limerick, had an operation. And the club haven't paid the bill, basically. And Sean Russell has been billed €4,500. He needs a second operation. And what we hear is that he can't have that operation until money is forthcoming. Checks are bouncing, etc. I know supporters have set up a GoFundMe to try and help Sean out. But he's an amateur player. So as far as I understand, the PFEI aren't in a position to really assist in this one. And I suppose the biggest disgrace in all of this is he hasn't even had a single phone call from anyone within the FAI.
Do you know what? Surely the PFAI can do something about it. There has to be, Kieran. I mean, he may be an amateur player, but he's playing in the League of Ireland, First Division.
I really don't understand that.
And my heart goes out to him because, I mean, that's like you not being able to go to work on myself, you know, and it would just be heartbreak. And let's face it, you're not gonna get a lot of money from the state for being out. So, let's hope this gets resolved sooner rather than later. But fair play to anybody that's donated on that crowdfunder.
Yeah, definitely. I think we might have shared it on our Twitter. So the Blue Army, I'm sure most people are aware of the Limerick fans, the Blue Army, they have a GoFundMe page. So maybe just check that out because disgraceful what's going on there at Limerick in regards to Sean Russell. Moving along, Shells had to come from behind in this one, John. It could have been a major shock had they gone down to Athlone. But in the end, the Reds came out 2-1 winners.
Yeah, Dean Williams with the opener for an Athlone. Like you say, shock opener. But he's a man that's done well since his move there. But, you know, the big guns are out for Shells, aren't they? Ryan Brennan and Kieran Kilduff with the winner.
Yeah, I suppose no surprise to see those two on the score sheet. And as you said, Williams has done really well. And Shamrock Rovers fans will have enjoyed him seeing him score against Shelburne. But for Shells, I suppose, not convincing, though.
No, 2-1 against Athlone. They're limping through a few games, aren't they?
They've been that way most of the season, really, haven't they? And I know from speaking to Shells fans about the Cabinteely defeat, they said they should have won 5 or 6-1, but the fact is they didn't.
Yeah.
And they are behind in the table now. There's a long, long way to go, so if they can keep grinding out these results and then eventually hit form. But we're quite a significant amount of way into the season now, and they haven't really hit top gear. So you're wondering, when are they going to hit top gear?
Well, they need to go on a little run, don't they? Yeah. And they need Kilduff to start firing plenty of goals. And he's got a few already, but I think that's what they need. They need to go on a little run and start putting pressure on the top two.
Wexford 2, Cove 2. Another good result for Wexford. Their upturn in form continues.
Yeah, Jack Doherty doing well. Netting again, I see, for Wexford.
Yeah, I just wonder if other clubs maybe will... It was Furlong, they got the other goals. It was those two again. It's a real duo there. They're getting all the goals for Wexford this season. So probably Furlong, obviously, he has a long association with Wexford. But I'm just wondering, maybe Jack Doherty of other League of Ireland clubs might start having a look now. Obviously, very, very highly rated earlier on in his career. Things took a bit of a downturn. But he's really found his feet again at Wexford. And he looks in very good condition, I have to say.
Yeah, good condition and scoring goals, which is the main thing, Kieran. Cove's replies from Denzel Fernandez and Stephen Kenny.
Again, two players there that I really, really like in this first division. I think Fernandez is one we've spoken about a lot. Yeah. I think it's only a matter of time before he moves up to a bigger club. And Kenny, he's a player, he's been at a lot of clubs in the league. He's been at Limerick, he's been at Cork, and he's never really been able to get a run of games going. So this move to Cove might do him the world of good. But isn't it great to see so many good players in the first division this season?
It is, Kieran, I have to say. But I have to say, it's a result that's going to do neither team's much good.
Well, for Wexford, I think they'll take any points they can get this season and just try and slowly keep building, because, as we said, they've had a great upturn in recent weeks. For Cove, though, it's not going to plan, is it?
No, it's not.
But Cove would have been looking at this season for challenging for playoffs. Wexford have always been scrapping around the bottom.
It'll have been avoid bottom spot. Yeah. So, yeah, but look, I think Cove sometimes can be quite hard to beat, as we saw, especially at home, Kieran, you know. Mm. But then again, Drogheda went there the other week and beat them quite easily, so...
Final result of the weekend in the first division, it was the shock of the weekend. Cabinteely handing Longford their first defeat of the season, 1-0 to Cabinteely at the City College Stadium.
It was a pretty poor match, though, Kieran, I have
awful.
To say. There was no flow to it. Probably one of Longford's weakest performances this season. Yeah. And to be honest, I couldn't get too excited about Cabinteely. They came with a very set game plan. They were very direct. And they defended very well. And hit Longford with a bit of a sucker punch.
But in saying that, in the first half, Lee Stacey had to make a couple of three or four saves to deny Cabo an opener. Yeah. Stephen McGuinness made a great save for Cabinteely to deny, I think it might have been Dobbs with a header in the first half. And had that gone in, maybe Longford to get 1-0 up. They've been so solid at the back this season, they probably don't concede. But as you said, it was Longford's weakest performance of the season. I don't think Cabinteely deserved to win it on the balance of play, but as you said, they've come with a game plan, they've hit Longford with a sucker punch, so you have to hold your hands up and say Cabinteely, in that sense, do deserve it.
They've every chance in this league, because what's impressed me is they've got a great centre-back pairing.
Yeah.
Two real big units there in centre-back, and they're technically decent as well, and a good goalkeeper behind them. And if you've got that, Kieran, and you've got the likes of Manly and Kieran Marty Waters,
you've got a bit of a
that
spine,
can pinch a goal or two.
Yeah,
you're in with every chance, and in this league, you don't need that much to be able to challenge at the top. So
I think this will be a big learning curve for Longford, because it should have been no surprise to them the way Cabinteely were going to come down and play. As you said, they really sucked the life out of the game. Every set piece was taking 45 seconds to a minute to get going again. Yeah. They were slowing the game down. They were making cynical fouls.
I did think Longford lacked any kind of creativity on the night, Kieran. I was very disappointed with a few of the
players. But what my point is with Longford, they had to remain composed in that situation and play their game, impose their game. They're the home side.
Yeah.
There can be no complaints about the surface. They had to go and play their game and get the ball down and try and unlock that Cabinteely defence. Instead, they let frustration set in. They played long balls up to Keely and Chute, who gathered them up all day. And then Cabinteely, they went forward and scored the winner. So a very, very poor showing from Longford.
I can see that last season. I can see Dylan McGlade running around a couple of defenders and slotting one in to make that 1-1.
Yeah,
so maybe that's
now,
that
John.
Little bit of magic that they're missing.
He's gone now, John. Get over it. But I think we've said all we can say on that fixture. Cabinteely, top of the first division, an incredible rise to the top. And we're going to be joined now by Andrew Dempsey, Between the Stripes TV reporter and extratime.ie as well. He's going to talk about Cabo's rise to the top and the first division in general this season. So Andrew Dempsey from extratime.ie and of course from Between the Stripes TV joins us now to talk about Cabinteely's rise to the top of the First Division and the First Division season in general. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, lad.
So great to have you on, Andrew. You've seen a lot of First Division football this season, so interested to get your views on the second tier. Obviously the big headline from the weekend, Cabinteely giving Longford Town their first defeat of the season in Longford to go top of the First Division. I know you were at that game. What was your thoughts on the performance of both teams?
Yeah, I thought, being brutally honest with you, I thought it was probably one of Longford's worst performances of the season, from what I've seen of them anyway. I thought Cabinteely were okay. They weren't probably the best I've seen them either. I think probably Cabinteely played Longford at maybe their own game.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, worked out quite well for them.
Yeah, I think myself and John have just been speaking off air here just before we got you on, and that's something we comment on. It's almost like Longford fell into Cabinteely's hands a little bit. Obviously, Cabinteely play a very direct style of play. They look to maybe break up the play away from home and take a bit of sting out of the game, and instead of staying composed and calm in that situation, Longford seemed to resort to a lot of long balls, and with that centre-half pairing of Jack Chute and Conor Keely, Cabinteely weren't really troubled all night, were they?
No, they weren't at all. I think you might have forgotten Jack Hudson as well. I thought he was quite impressive. And even when Phillies Fabuz came off, I thought Owen Massey was quite good at mopping up a bit of danger as well. Look, overall, I think they were the better side in the end, you know. Probably it was a dominant enough 1-0 win. Longford never really, maybe apart from Sam Verdon's free kick at the end, that was really it. Wasn't really too many opportunities for Longford.
Yeah, but in saying that, I suppose it still was a surprise to see Longford lose at home, to lose that undefeated record that they've had. You've seen a lot of Cavan Teely, obviously you're involved with their media team there. Do you think Cavan Teely can sustain this start to the season? Are they genuine promotion, if not title contenders?
Well, I think after Saturday night, I think you have to consider them title contenders now. I thought maybe after the Shelburne game, I was like, look, these are definitely going to get playoffs, but you know, it was kind of all boiled down to the Longford game. Would they be able to, I suppose, be considered title contenders? And, you know, they proved they, you know, they probably should be considered title contenders.
And where's this come from? Because I think most pundits had Cavan Teely pretty much written off at the start of the season. And look, we're here at the top of the league. Could you see this coming, Andrew?
Well, no, if you look at their last away game and last season, they're beating 7-1 away to Finn Harps. I think that kind of says it all. You know, in fairness to Pat Devlin and his coaching team, they've managed to keep the majority of last year's squad, and you know, they've added to it quite well. Obviously, Rob Manley would be the, you know, the headline of that, but you know, a few of the 19s have come up as well, and they've done quite well. Maybe Alex Aspel in particular, I've thought he's been quite impressive. So, you know, I didn't see it coming to them whatsoever, but look, they're doing quite well, so fair play to them.
I think, like we said earlier, it's definitely a case of building from the back with that team. They look very, very solid at the back, especially that central defensive pair. They look excellent together.
Good goalkeeper in McGuinness there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because against their Shells, they probably couldn't have beaten 6 or 7-1, and if it wasn't for Conor Keighley and Jack Chew, and probably Jack Hudson as well, it could have been quite a nasty, you know, scoreline. But, you know, defensively, they're brilliant, you know. Probably saw that a bit last year. I remember when they played Longford at Stradbroke, they were, you know, quite good defensively that night, and you know, they've obviously carried it into this season.
Yeah, and I suppose the team can be as solid as they want at the back. If they don't have someone at the other end to put the ball in the net, they're not going to really compete. And this season, you've mentioned them already, Rob Manley has grabbed the headlines in the first division. And Kieran Marty Waters, he probably wasn't at his best last season, but we're definitely seeing the best of him this year. So if those two can stay fit and stay at Cavan Teely, then they probably are going to be genuine contenders.
Yeah, look, I think probably what happened last year with Kieran Marty Waters was, I know he was nursing an injury for most of the season, and look, he didn't really have a target man to play off of. Obviously there was Luke Lucas, but look, if you compare Luke Lucas to Rob Manley this year, I don't think you can compare the two of them. Obviously Luke Lucas, he's quite young, and obviously Rob Manley, he's pulled up through the ranks, he knows I suppose how to play in the first division. So I don't know what to say really. You know, Kieran Marty Waters, he's probably benefiting from having a target man who probably knows him.
I suppose one of the questions now that's starting to arise, we've seen in the league recently, when I suppose situations aren't addressed, how they can drag on. I'm referring to the Waterford European situation. Cavan Teely now have a very real chance of promotion to the Premier Division. People are already starting to maybe look at Stradbroke, and would it be suitable for Premier Division football? What's your thoughts on that? Do you think maybe the club is going to have to start looking at what would happen if they're to be promoted, how they can continue to grow the club? Because in all fairness to Cavan Teely, they've only been in the league a few short seasons now, and already the club has made quite good progress off the field. So promotion to the Premier would be fantastic for the club, but do you think they'd be able to host Premier Division football is what I'm asking, really?
Yeah, in Stradbroke, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not, no. I suppose the ideal scenario would be probably to use either UCD or Bray as a ground, but I don't really know how feasible that is. Look, you can't really use Stradbroke the way it is at the minute. You know, look, when you have a big crowd, like maybe your Shamrock Rovers, your Dundalks, your even your Bows, like, you know, look, I don't think it can work, unfortunately.
I suppose someone suggested maybe a temporary stand solution, something like a stand that we see in Ferry-Carry Park. Maybe that could be an option, but look, I don't really want to get into speculation. It's just something that has come to the fore in recent days after that result. Yeah. But just on the first division in general this season, Andrew, as I said, you're out at a lot of games for extra time and for ourselves as well. What have you made of the standard, and how exciting has the first division been this year?
So I think maybe last year was a bit better in terms of maybe exciting nature of it, because, you know, there was maybe, you know, your UCD that you knew were going to excite you every week, but I don't know, I think a few teams this year are a bit more, I suppose, compact, and, you know, they're probably, it's like one game that, you know, they're trying not to lose the game all the time. Like, look, there's a bit of that last year as well, but I think maybe last year was a bit more exciting on that front, but, you know, look, there's still a long way to go on this. I think over the summer, you know, pitches are going to get better, you know, football's going to get a lot better as well, so it's going to get better, I think, but maybe compared to last year, it's not as good.
And finally, UCD, obviously one of the clubs you cover quite a lot. Hopes on staying up this season?
I'm not sure at the moment. If you'd asked me that a month ago, I probably would have said, yeah, no problem. But look, I think they've lost six in a row now. So, you know, look, I know they're going through exam season as well. It's not easy for them, but yeah. I think this weekend will be big for them. Obviously, it's Shamrock Rovers home on Friday night, and then I think Cork at home as well. So, look, if they can get any sort of a positive result from any of the two games, I think they'll be maybe, you know, more positive. But at the moment, I don't know, not you know, 100% confident they, you know, will stay, get above that, you know, playoff spot.
Andrew, absolute pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us, and keep up the good work for obviously ourselves on Between the Stripes TV and Extra Time as well.
Cheers, lads. Appreciate it. Keep up the good wishes, lads. Thanks.
So on to the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game. John, you still lead the way after a week off. 7-4 lead for John Breyer over myself. St. Mel's Brewing prediction game is sponsored, of course, by stmelsbrewing.com, our sponsors here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast this season. So check out their website, stmelsbrewing.com. They're also on Twitter and Facebook, and you can pick up a fine bottle of their lovely craft beer brewed here in Longford in any good off-license, but always drink responsibly. Right, John, on we go. Cabinteely against Drogheda is the first one up.
Yeah, well, league leaders, surprise league leaders, Cabinteely against Drogheda, who had a good win over Limerick. Yeah, I can see Cabinteely extending the lead and winning this one, Kieran. It might be tight, though, I think.
Yeah, Drogheda is very interesting season, because we've spoken about them not being as clinical in terms of scoring goals, but they're actually the highest scoring team in the division. You've mentioned when we've been speaking about the Longford game there, Cabinteely's organisation and their structure at the back. Yeah. So it's a real difference in styles linking up here.
I have to say, a lot of these clubs are very, very hard to predict.
There are these games are, and we've said it before, I think a lot of games when you go to Stradbroke, considering depending on what condition you're going to find the pitch in, it can be a flip of the coin.
Drogheda got away from home, though. They walloped Cove, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, and I think the pitch in Cove would be quite similar to the one in Stradbroke. Very bumpy, very dry at times. So maybe Drogheda have that. They play a direct game at times, Drogheda. So whether they can find something to unlock the Cabinteely defence, we'll have to wait and see. What's your thoughts on it?
Like I say, it's very, very difficult to call. I'm going to go for a home win, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if Drogheda went there and won.
Yeah, just with the form Manly and Waters are in, I think that's the difference. I think these two teams are very evenly matched on paper, but I think that could be the difference. So I'm going to go with a home win also on that one.
Okay. Galway host Longford Town, Kieran.
Yeah, I've been speaking to a lot of Longford fans after that defeat against Cabinteely.
Very dejected, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I was saying to them, though, since Neil Fenn has come in, when they've had these bad, it wasn't just a bad result the other night, it was a bad performance. And one thing Fenn always gets from his players after a bad performance is a bounce back. And Longford have a very, very good record against Galway. They went there and they thumped them 4-1 last season in Eamon DC Park. I fully expect Longford to respond with a big win here, and they need to, in all honesty.
Yeah, Galway have had a very poor season so far, haven't they? You know, and I can't see it improving against Longford. No, away win.
Galway did have a week off last week, though, so just whether it's always the question, are they rusty or are they fit? I'd say they probably welcomed the break a little bit after a difficult start to the season, but Longford really, they can have no excuses. It's a lovely place to go and play football. The weather should be good. Longford have to bounce back. So both of us going for home wins there, John?
Yep, I think so.
On to the next one, Athlone against Bray. Athlone upset Bray earlier in the season. Can they do it again?
I don't think so, Kieran, because they're on such a downward slide at the moment. It's not looking good for them again. No, I'm going to go for Bray to win this one, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that one. Bray, obviously, last week as well, had a week off with the under-17 championships taking place at the Carlisle grounds. As I said, they were upset earlier in the season against Athlone, so they can have no excuses here in terms of Athlone being some sort of surprise package. They know what they're going to get. Surface in Athlone should suit Bray. The likes of McGlade should enjoy playing on that 4G pitch. I go with a Bray win, but if they lose this one, they're in big bother.
Another club that maybe could do with another recognised goal scorer. Again, reliant on McGlade for goals a lot. So you wonder about some of these strikers at, you know, the likes of Vinny Fahty at Galway and...
Furlong at Wexford.
Furlong at Wexford. You know, Bray looking for a striker. Longford Town looking for a striker.
I think that's something we've touched on in recent shows as well. Everyone's looking for that clinical goal scorer, but there's a very limited amount of them around.
That's it. But anyway, on as we said...
We're both blown away wins there,
yeah,
I think.
Perfect.
So we need something to separate us soon. Will this be the one, Wexford hosts and Shells?
I can't see too much apart from an away win there, Kieran, so unless you're going to surprise me, no.
Difficult one to call, actually, believe it or not. These two played, the last time they played, Shells were scoreless after, I think it might have been an hour or so, and then they ended up winning 3-0, one of those sort of games. Again, Ferry Carrig, very difficult place to go at times. The crowds are quite low, so it's something a lot of players and managers have spoken of. It can be quite hard to get yourself motivated for these games, but you'd imagine Shells, with the season that they have ahead of them, look, they're looking to win this league. They should bring a bit of a big away following. The likes of Kilduff and Brennan, they've really got to step up in these sort of games where it can just be you need your big players to step up and dig it out against these smaller sides that make it difficult. So logic says you have to go for a Shells win, but nothing would surprise me.
Are you going to go for Shells?
In a shorter sense, I'm going for Shells win.
Right, well, the next one's going to sort the men out from the boys. Cove at home to Limerick. I might as well throw a coin for this one. I haven't a clue.
Yeah, again, it's a real time cost, this one. Cove, difficult place to go. Getting a lot of draws this season. Again, they're one of those teams they're very awkward to play against. As we said against Limerick, credit to their players and their management team. They're giving it their all. I've been impressed with their performances this season, but I think this one, it might be just another draw.
Right, well, I'll go for an away win, Kieran, just to just to do something a little bit different.
That could be the one. Over to the Premier Division, and it's the fixture that has been the game in Irish football in recent years, but it's got a slightly different feel to it these days. It's Cork against Dundalk at Turner's Cross.
Yeah, fast improving Cork against a Dundalk side that are on a real run at the moment.
We've heard from John Gill. He reckons, you know, this is still a big rivalry game and Cork will be well up for it. Do you give them any hope of stopping Dundalk's title charge?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think Cork have enough for Dundalk this season. I'm going to go with Dundalk, so impressive last few matches. I'm going to
Of course, I think the difference again, we're looking at the top end of the pitch in this game and you're looking at the strikers. Cummins not full of confidence. The big decision for Dundalk, do they stick with Kelly? Patrick Hooban coming back from suspension, does he start? I'd imagine he probably will. All in all, I think Dundalk, too much firepower. I go away win. St. Pat's against Bowes in the Dublin derby.
That's a tricky one, isn't it? There's, you know...
Bowes need this, don't they?
Well, they do. And Pat's a little bit up and down. They started off poorly. A decent run. I'm going to go for a draw in this one. Dublin derby. Yeah, draw, Kieran.
Yeah, interesting with Pat's in recent weeks playing the two up front in Drennan and Shaw. It's giving them a bit more threat up there. Bowes, Denny Corcoran's been superb this season, so it's going to be a tale of who's more clinical. I don't think this will be a game full of chances. I think this is probably, like the last meeting that ended 1-0 to Bowes, I think this could be quite similar. I'm going to back up that result again. I'm going to go for a narrow win for Bohemians, but as I said, I think this will be a very tight game.
Oh, Bowes fans won't like you, Kieran.
Very true, yeah, but look, when did I ever care about anyone's opinion? What were you going again there, John?
I'm going to go for a draw, Kieran.
You're going for a draw, okay, so we have a little bit of separation at least this week. UCD against Rovers. And just to stop you there, I'm actually looking at these fixtures. This is the set of Premier Division fixtures the week you won the 200-1 bet.
Yeah, I thought you were never going to mention that for a minute.
you'll remember UCD Rovers, it was 1-1 after about 83 minutes and then Rovers scored two late goals.
Yeah.
Can UCD make it awkward again for the Hoops?
I don't think so, Kieran.
No, not in current form.
No. I think they're going to have to get an SOS out and do something with that team because they look poor at the moment and they're starting to look a bit devoid of confidence, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think we'll see a big Rovers win there. Harps against Waterford. Harps, they were off last week, but they had that big win against UCD the week previous. So a home game here against an inconsistent Waterford team, a team that leaked 3 goals in their last outing. Could Harps get back-to-back wins?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head with Waterford about inconsistency. You know, they can look decent one week and the next week they're just shipping goals.
I thought you were going to say something very different.
Yeah. we've seen Akinade not looking up to it, but then last week he was looking great. I don't know, Kieran. I still think Harps are struggling this season. I'm going to go for a Waterford win.
Yeah, I suppose you have to take results into context. UCD got a bit of a pacing off Harps, but UCD's form in recent weeks, it's a bit like when you back a horse and he wins by so many lengths, and you're looking then the opposition go on to do nothing afterwards.
Have you done the roulette? Which member of the Harps management team suspended for this one?
I think Paul Hegarty actually could be suspended. He's just coming back from suspension. So yeah, but look, that has no real bearing on the pitch stuff. I'm not convinced by Harps myself at the moment. But then again, as I said, Waterford very inconsistent. It's a difficult trip. So
come on, Kieran, going to have to push you.
I will just go Waterford to nick it, but don't be surprised if it's a draw.
Okie doke. Final match.
What was yours?
Away win.
Away Waterford, win, yeah. Okay.
Sligo against Derry.
Yeah, but two teams with a decent run of form in recent weeks. Obviously, Derry have been the more impressive. What do you fancy?
Yeah, I'm quite impressed with this Derry side. I think they can...
a bit of a steal about them.
Yeah. Sligo a little bit up and down, a bit inconsistent at the back. I think Derry will edge this one. Quite impressed with what they've done this season. I think Declan Devine's gone and playing some decent football, and they're a lot better than they used to be away from home, so I'm going to go for an away win.
I don't like going for draws, but I think this one just has a feel of a draw. But Sligo, they've picked up a lot of draws this season. Derry, they're on the road. Drew against Pats last time out. Again, they're a side, maybe you're looking at them, an out-and-out striker. I know Parkhouse has been impressive, but is he going to get 15 goals? He's probably not. As we mentioned, McNamee hasn't exactly got the scoring boots on so far this season. Junior could argue more of a creator than a finisher. I'm going to go for a draw, but have a feeling that Declan Devine might prove me wrong yet.
Yeah, well, I think so. I'm going to go for an away win, Kieran.
So, John, that brings us to the end of the show, but I know you want to touch on the Unite the something cup or whatever they're talking about.
Well, do you know, when we talk about League of Ireland and we talk about the money that goes into League of Ireland, or shall we say the lack of it, Kieran, for me, having another competition that rewards the team that gets into the Champions League and all the money that goes with Europe, and then are going to pay them an extra 50 grand... for winning the United Nations, whatever it's called.
Let's give it its proper name, Unite the Union Cup.
Well, that's nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah,
Kieran?
It is absolute rubbish.
So it's more money into...
I think someone was on a genuine wind-up when they gave it that name.
Yeah, it's nonsense, Kieran.
I thought you'd like it.
No, I don't like it at all. I think it's rubbish, if I'm being honest. But I think putting more money into the team that wins the league, so it gets the most prize money, gets the most money from Europe, all they need to do is get through a round or two of Europe. And don't forget, Dundalk are seeded if they get through. It widens the gap between the haves and the haves-nots. I'm totally against it. I think there's something else that could have been done. I don't even think it needed to be done in the first place. I think the money could have gone into, if there's more money about, sticking it to the prize funds.
I definitely see where you're coming from. I do agree that it's probably widening the gap, and it's maybe, is it fair? Then again, you'll say, well, they're the best team. So
it's a gimmick, Kieran. That's all this is.
I think we're at a time now where we're looking at the league and all the problems we have in Irish football, and that question will always linger on, is there room for an All-Ireland League? You could argue this is a small taster of that. See how this goes. The Satanta Cup, it was great in the early days of John Gill.
Well, we loved the Iron Brew Cup last season, didn't we?
So it's something new. It's something I look forward to watching. And I think the rumours are RT will actually show the second leg. Unfortunately, they didn't give us any indication of that in their recent promo video. But I certainly see where you're coming from. But for me, anything that promotes Irish football, like, you're going to be able to build this quite easily. It's the champions of Ireland against the champions of Northern Ireland, All-Ireland winner. It's something we see in other leagues. It's almost like a Super Cup. I know we have our President's Cup here, but it's something
like a European Super Cup. Isn't it? It's like the winner of the Champions League in the UEFA Cup.
It's something just to raise the profile that little bit. And if it does get the television coverage, and the prize money is quite good, so the sponsorship deal is obviously quite good. So the fact they've been able to go and attract somebody like that, it shows there is an interest in Irish football. So as I said...
The trade union, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. So as I said, it could be just a small indication of a future look into Irish football. But at the moment, it's nothing more than that.
Yeah. I'm still not getting too excited about it, Kieran. I think the money could have been better put into league and grassroots.
Well, you have to remember that all the sponsorship money from this, it's coming from the sponsors. There's no input from either association. So you can't say it'd be better spent on the league because... Unite, they're not involved with either, so they're not just going to throw X amount of money at the either league, so they have to start somewhere. I think it's a good starting point. I know the lads on League of Ireland Weekly have had a small conversation about this recently, about looking towards an All-Ireland League in the future. So let's see where it goes, but I most certainly see your argument. Folks, before we go, just leave us your tweets at Between Stripes, our Twitter. Give us your thoughts on the Unite the Union Cup.
And what name you would have called it, yeah, as well.
Silly name aside, give us your genuine thoughts on it.
I don't want to hear Brexit Cup neither, or anything like that.
Is John Breyer correct? Is it widening the gap, or do you think that it's something positive to raise the profile of football on the island of Ireland? That brings us to the end of the show. Thanks very much to our three sponsors as always, Flomax.ie, stmelsbrewing.com and Diageo.ie. Thanks to John for joining me, and thanks to our two guests tonight, John Gill and Andrew Dempsey. And hopefully we'll be back again next week with another show. Share this far and wide, and we'll speak to you soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.